we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent, recognizing that at Christmas time, when we get so busy and preoccupied with programs or parties to go to or to plan or prepare for, guests to get your home ready for, not to mention shopping for gifts and trying to figure out all those things, oftentimes there isn't just a space or a place for us to sit, to just slow down, to worship. But really, Advent is a season of waiting, when we must slow down, when we need to sit, when we need to take some time to wait upon the Lord. And so on this Sunday, first Sunday of Advent, we light a candle, as we will the next several weeks, just in an opportunity for us to wait and to worship. As we light these candles, the first 2 weeks of Advent, we'll focus more on the second coming of Christ. And then the week before Christmas, and then on Christmas Eve, we'll take time to celebrate our Savior's birth, that he was the one who came to us and died. And recognizing that as we walk through times, and especially this season of Christmas, as we wait, we realize that this world is not what we always long for it to be. That there are some things that are seriously messed up, not just with our country, not just with the world in the political realm, but we see the devastation and the effect of sin and death all around us. And even though at times we try to mask it with temporal and surface happiness, we got to come to grips with the reality that this world is not our home. That this is not the way that we were meant to live. That sin and death and all that comes with that, those realities, are not how God always wants us to live. Even just kind of looking at the last couple weeks, there's been some tragedies and some difficulties that have been going on. Last night, Jill Duncan posted on our PBC prayer site that Amanda Claremont was found shot in her car the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Her family waiting and wondering if the person that shot her will ever be found. Will there be justice on earth? This last week, even on Friday, we had a funeral right in here of a father, Daniel Bohr, who was accidentally shot by his son over Thanksgiving. I can't imagine the grief, the tragedy, and that's why our hope of Christmas, our hope of the resurrection, our hope of Christ coming doesn't make it any easier necessarily for the things and the tragedies and the sorrow of sin and death and all that comes with that. But we have a hope that goes beyond this life. It was the hope of the psalmist as they look forward to Christ coming. I want to invite you to take your Bibles as we look briefly this morning at Psalm 80. And throughout this Advent season, we're going to look at several of the psalms that have a particular hope and focus on Christ coming. Remember, in the Old Testament, they didn't necessarily see the distinction between a first coming and a second. As they looked ahead to the future, they saw the coming of the Messiah. And as Jesus came, he walked on the earth, and as he lived and died in our place and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he told us that he would come again for his people. And so this Advent season, as we look at the Psalms, we see how they look to the Lord for the hope of salvation in some times of incredible desperation. In Psalm 80 here, the writer Asaph, writing a song as a choir director, he cried out to God, asking him to restore us, to rescue us, to revive us. You see, in our times of greatest need, it's God who hears our cry for salvation, and because of Christ, he pours out his favor on us. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we've earned it. It's simply because of who God is and his goodness, even when our sin causes havoc and chaos in the world. It's in our times of quiet desperation that I think we see the celebration of Christmas and the celebration of seeing our Savior face to face one day. In Psalm 80, verse 1, we read, "Listen, shepherd of Israel, who guides Joseph like a flock, who sits enthroned on the cherubim, rise up at the head of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Rally your power and come to save us." The appeal of Asaph here is addressed to the shepherd of Israel, guiding Joseph, and that is all of Israel. The picture of the shepherd, God, leading his people out of Israel, or out of Egypt rather, to the promised land, leading them through the wilderness. The glory of God appearing between the cherubim and the seat of God's mercy at the Ark of the Covenant. And yet Asaph realizes that as God led his people from Egypt to the promised land, that things aren't like they used to be. That the Israelites had turned their back on God. The sin, both nationally and personally, had infected all of them and damaged their relationship with God. And so he cries out in verse 3, "Restore us, God. Look on us with favor, and we will be saved." And in fact, this anthem is the repeated refrain throughout this psalm. We see it again in verse 7. "Restore us, God of hosts. Look on us with favor, and we will be saved." And then even at the end of this psalm, "Restore us, Lord God of hosts. Look on us with favor, and we will be saved." In times of our greatest need, we can cry out to God himself and say, "Lord, restore us. Bring us back to the original place of our relationship. Bring us back to where we were when we walked with you and talked with you and you heard us and you were near where you would hear our prayers." You know, as we think of the whole of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, we think of the fall of humanity, this restoration of the perfect relationship that Adam and Eve had before they ate of the fruit, before sin entered the world and caused death and damage to the relationship with God. It's that ultimate kind of restoration that was possible only by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Because what we couldn't do on our own, God made possible through the death of Jesus Christ in our place. Our substitute death through Christ, so that we could be restored to a relationship with him. He says, "Look on us with favor." Maybe your translation more literally says, "Make your face to shine upon us." You know, if any of you have been around kids very long, if they're talking to you and really want your attention, they demand that you look them in the face. In fact, I remember our kids at times, if I wasn't looking at them, they would literally turn my face so I would see them. And I've had other kids do that to me as well. There's something about seeing someone face to face when issues are serious. The psalmist is saying, "Restore us, God. Look on us with favor. Give us your attention, and we will be saved," especially when it comes to life and death issues. And in this situation, the psalmist was desperate. He recognized that there was some damage between him personally and national Israel and God. And so we need to ask the Lord to restore us to himself. And also in our times of greatest need, we trust in the Lord to rescue us from our sin. In verse 4, Asaph goes on and says, "Lord God of hosts." That is Yahweh Elohim Sabaoth. Lord God of all the angel armies in heaven. In other words, our deliverer, our rescuer. "How long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You fed them the bread of tears and gave them a full measure of tears to drink. You set us at strife with our neighbors. Our enemies make fun of us. And so restore us, God of hosts. Look on us with favor, and we will be saved." He says, "Lord, how long will you be angry? Not only with us, but angry with us in such a way that you won't even hear our prayers." The only way that they could be rescued from the damage caused in their relationship with God, from the damage caused by sin that deserved death, was for God himself to intervene. There was nothing that they could do. It was only dependent upon God, the God of heaven's armies, to come and rescue and deliver them and to save them because he looked on them with favor. And then throughout the rest of the psalm, he changes to a different picture from the Lord, the shepherd of Israel, to the people of Israel being an uprooted vine, broken down. And in verse 14, they say, "Return, God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine, the root of your right hand is planted, the shoot that you made strong for yourself. It was cut down and burned up. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance." In verse 17, "Let your hand be with the man at your right hand." Who else could that man be at the right hand but the Lord? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 110, a messianic psalm, says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." The one we know, Jesus, as he ascended into heaven because of who he is and what he has done, is currently and presently seated at the right hand of God, ruling from heaven above. And the psalmist Asaph cries out to the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, seated in heaven. He says, "With the Son of Man," verse 17, "with the Son of Man, you have made strong for yourself." Now, certainly the phrase Son of Man, a term that Jesus used of himself. Luke, as he wrote to his friend Theophilus, recorded regularly this phrase, "the Son of Man." For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to live and to die in our place so that we could be restored to a right relationship with God, so that we can be rescued from the life that we deserve, a life filled with sin and destined for death, separation from God forever. And so the psalmist says, "Wait for the Lord to revive us to life with him." Verse 18 says, "Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name." Revive us. It has this idea of someone who has stopped breathing, who is essentially dead, but brought back to life. Not merely resuscitated, but brought back from death to life. Revived by the Lord, rescued by him, restored to a right relationship, we will call on the name of the Lord and he'll hear us. That's the hope of Christmas. And that's the hope of his second coming, that as believers in Jesus Christ, in who he is and what he did for us on the cross, the eternal one seated at the right hand of God, who came and lived and died in our place, that we have this hope that he's coming again. And until then, we want to be found faithful so that when we do sin, when we cause chaos, when things happen in life that we can't comprehend, that are overwhelming, we can ask the Lord to restore us, and he will. We can trust him to rescue us, and he will. We can wait for him during times of joy and in times of loss to revive us, and he will. The psalmist repeats it again, "Restore us, Lord God of hosts, the God of heaven's armies. Look on us with favor, and we will be saved." You know, one of the things we wonder oftentimes is, how did we get in this mess? How do we get in this mess in this world? And there are times I look at my own life and say, how did I get in this mess? And oftentimes it comes down to, whose favor am I trying to win? Am I trying to win the applause of others, the favor of men? Or is it the applause and the approval of heaven, for God's holy face to shine upon me. And in times when I blow it, and I have, and I will, and so have you, and you will, we ask the Lord to restore us by his grace. We trust in the Lord to rescue us and to forgive us of our sin. And he promises that he will. And we wait on the Lord to revive us. And even though this body one day is going to die, if Christ doesn't come first, one day he will. And this body will be resurrected into a glorious form as promised by the Lord Jesus himself. And even just a few days ago, more tragic news. Warren Moll shared with us that his dad has been fighting cancer for many months and was placed on hospice care with just a limited amount of time left to live. And yet the hope that they have is the hope of Asaph, that God promises that one day he will completely restore us. He's already paid the price to rescue us. And he'll not just revive us, but he will resurrect us to live with him forever. During Advent, as we remember that God is a shepherd who leads his people, we celebrate and rejoice that Jesus is the Lamb of God who died in the place of his sheep. And the Lord God of angels' armies is coming back for us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you for the hope of eternal life that we have because of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope of the psalmist as they long for the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that as we celebrate this Advent season, that we'll not just celebrate and be busy about all the parties and programs and presents, but Father, that we'll just rest in your eternal presence and the hope that we have, the forgiveness of sin, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, I pray for those here that are struggling this morning. Lord, for all of us, as we look around us and wonder and worry, we grieve. And we thank you for your promises to restore us and rescue us and revive us. Revive our hearts, revive our church. They would glorify your name now until you return for us. It's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray, by the same power that raised him from the dead. Amen.